Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer.
They'll never know just who you are, but they can turn your bright star dark. They'll try to hold your spirit down. Couldn't do it then, can't do it now. They'll try to tell you who to be, but they can't change the way you feel. Can't tame a wild heart, you are free, free, free is the grass that's right under. Tell you where to go, try to put chains around your soul, but they could never hold you back, 'cause you were built too strong for that. Can't tame a wild heart. Free is the grass that's right under.
And I freely admit that I shed lots of tears at the heartwarming movie directed by Thea Sharrock, part of the Disney Plus offering, the one and only Ivan, true story, of course, based on the true story of the gorilla who could actually paint. Amazing movie, in a case available, of course, available on Disney Plus, as indeed shortly will Mulan. And indeed, if movies have any sense whatsoever these days, they will have at least a simultaneous release, go online, as well as going through the big screen scenario. Before Richard Fitzwilliams immediately bursts
No, that is the most outrageous introduction you've ever done. I mean, quite honest, it was designed to provoke, and it does. Disney and Mulan, the fact that it won't even be in cinema.
No.
It weren't at all.
Well, no,
I mean, that's outrageous. So the whole thing was, the whole point of Moulin was that it was a widescreen spectacle. Disney did it because it feared it would be economically disastrous if it didn't. And it'd be £23 to view it, as I will be viewing it, to review it on the Disney streaming channel.
Yeah, but
the facts are tenant.
Richard, if you were a Disney Plus member already, it would only be £19.99, so you'd make a saving already. You just have to sign up.
I'm certain that is the only consideration, Alex, that someone of your sensitivity I would have expected.
And I would certainly actually go for the one and only Ivan, which I thought was an outstandingly wonderful movie. Of course, the other thing, and before we actually move into
we must indeed, with the tragic news this morning that the black actor Chadwick Boseman has died at 43.
Yeah, exactly.
This was for the last 4 years he'd been struggling with colon cancer.
Yeah, and of course it does mean that the sequel to Black Panther, which did so much for the Disney Corporation as well as Marvel from that point of view, originally released in 2022, won't now be happening with Chadwick in the lead role. But it just shows when people transcend, Richard, we have to celebrate and acknowledge that in every case, in every instance, life is precious and we must enjoy it accordingly, which again is at the heart of the one and only Ivan. I will keep mentioning that. And also Black Panther as well, of course.
Well, one thing with Black Panther, it set the template, it really, really set it high, because Black Panther, of course, almost entirely black cast, and the fact that it was so phenomenally successful, cost $200 million and grossed over $1.3 billion, but also the only comic book movie to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, and directed by Ryan Coogler, it was a terrific success. And
the first as opposed to the only. I think the Joker will have something to say about Academy Awards and winning things, and that obviously comes from the graphic narrative
I'm
field.
Well, also looking at the Marvel, the Avengers, Infinity War. Of course, he reappeared.
Yeah. And in Captain America Winter Soldier, and of course in the Civil War system, as we said.
But most especially in Black Panther. And also to mention, he played the baseball player Jackie Robinson, the singer and songwriter.
And in The Five Bloods, which we reviewed this year, of course.
Indeed, and I think The Five Bloods, I wish that had been on the widescreen, which I think Spike Lee would have wanted had it been possible at that time.
As I said, Richard, I think the future has to be simultaneous releases from that point of view. Otherwise,
the future doesn't have to be simultaneous releases. It has to be releases on both. It's happening now and has been for a long time. But the new arrangement in Hollywood, for example, is that what was broadly a 70 to 90 day period after theatrical release, which led to streaming, that's been cut to something roughly 3 weekends. But again, we're in the state of flux, as you know.
Last week, Richard, after we did the reviews, I decided I'd go off in a virtual world to attend the full 8 hours of DC Fandome, and was hugely, hugely impressed. We did a review of it on a program earlier this week. And interesting enough, in terms of the slate of movies that are coming up, including, of course, Wonder Woman 1984, and, of course, Suicide Squad, The Suicide Squad, I should say, and Black Adam, and Shazam 2. Lots of exciting things happening, whichever way they're released. However, it is important that before, again, we move into that movie, which is a palindrome. It's effectively, it starts the same. It's the same in both directions. Let's briefly talk about another fascinating way in which we will always remember those who have gone before us or transcended. It could well be that a statue of Princess Diana will bring her boys back together. That's going to be good news.
It most certainly is going to be good news, and I have to say that there is no question that this has been in the pipeline for some time. The pandemic has held it up. It will be in the sunken garden at Kensington Palace, and it will be, I mean, the fountain that was originally supposed to be a memorial to Diana, I think everyone agreed that that was totally inadequate. But no question also that we have in the Telegraph today, Princes to set aside differences for the unveiling of Diana's statue. Oddly enough, the Mail cast some doubt, bizarrely enough, I really cannot see this, that Royal sources told the Mail they were likely to attend the unveiling together. Now, I mean, that's just extraordinary. Of course they will, or at least if they didn't, I mean, it would be extraordinary. I'm sure that they will, but there's no doubt that there are differences, and we know that now, and that's been underlined with Finding Freedom, which was not impressive. But there's no doubt that Diana's legacy, I mean, the fact that the hope is that the statue will lead those who see it, and I hope it's a good likeness, to pause and think about her remarkable achievements. Kensington Palace, the Sunken Garden, is the place for it. We will see the anniversary of her 60th birthday on the 1st of July next year, what is unveiled.
And moving onwards to another theme entirely, having seen your online comments about this, I would suggest that actually, as I kind of anticipated, you would find the spectacle of Tenet, Richard, superb, but ultimately find the actual narrative a tad bamboozling. Is that a fair point?
Well, I would just say bamboozling without the tad, but I would urge absolutely everyone who cares for cinema to see it. What's so important, as everyone who has been to the cinema knows, is the widescreen. I saw Tenet on IMAX in a very well-organized Warner's preview, and the social distancing and the way that they handled matters in the in the way you went in and you were, the way you left after the performance and so on, it's very well handled. This is a movie, I mean, it's, you could put it quite briefly. Christopher Nolan's Inception was tremendously popular with critics and with the public. Not everybody, however, and I didn't understand a lot of it and was very, very impatient with it, but I'm giving the majority opinion. The same thing's likely to happen here. If you liked, if you loved Inception, you will love a movie that is dealing with time inversion, time reversing technology. This is, I could say, ultra confusing. But
it's a temporal Cold War, Richard. A temporal Cold War.
Indeed, and when the irony, as I said in ITV News, is that if, since the movie has two, well, a character called the protagonist, played by John David Washington, and his handler, Robert Pattinson, are trying to save the world from World War III.
That, of course, is Robert Pattinson, the Batman.
Indeed, and what we will see is whether or not it saves the cinema, at least until James Bond in mid-November. It's been many, many months since we've had a blockbuster. This is certainly huge. Hoyt van Hoytema's beguiling camera work deserves a mention, and it's a very, very good cast. I thought John David Washington and Robert Pattinson did very well. They have the physicality their roles need. Kenneth Branagh, great fun. Russian accent, a villainous arms dealer, Andrei Sator, and it's his wife who all but steals the movie. Elizabeth Debicki is Kat. And
Richard, you know why that is, of course, because she actually honed her acting chops alongside Henry Cavill in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie directed by Guy Ritchie.
She survived that, obviously.
It's quite simple. You had Elizabeth Debicki, and of course you had that other fabulous actress whose name has eluded me at present, but was also...
Well, I'm not surprised it eludes you, but the Man from U.N.C.L.E., the Master and Commander of Never movies that elude you. I'm glad to notice it always keeps coming up. But I have to say that she has a very touching vulnerability. If you have a child to protect, and you have a monster who controls you as a husband. Having said that, the rest of the plot, I mean, this is a movie to go and debate. Go with your friends, like it, find it ultra puzzling. Some of the editing is quite extraordinary. Parts of the action take place in different time zones consecutively, in all of this. I mean, I often didn't know where I was, and quite honestly didn't desperately care. But if you've got Vast with the car chases, with a Boeing going into a, well, wait and see, and not to mention how it ends. Indeed, if you are still understanding what's happening, the facts are that this is a movie by someone who's playing around with time, and how you respond to that will depend on, you know, your enjoyment of the movie. But it's a wonderful movie to see on the big screen, to debate it, if you like it, if you don't, or go and see it again or whatever, but you've got the chance of the film experience, and it's everywhere, so please go.
Alicia Vikander, of course, was the actress I was trying to actually remember, who was also in the classic Guy Ritchie Man from U.N.C.L.E. She played Gabby Tyler, and indeed...
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is not a classic. It's only you have attempted to make it a classic.
It will be revisited. I think you'll find Citizen Kane, when it was first released, had mixed reviews.
All the comparisons, that is absolutely, as Sam Goldwyn would say in two words, unbelievable.
I suspect it was Mr. Goldwyn who also said, when it comes to the movie industry, nobody knows nothing, to employ a double negative.
I wouldn't be at all surprised, but the Goldwynisms were great fun. He was one of the cinema's characters. But when it comes to the plot, I have to say, in Tenet, you could also say, include me out.
Elizabeth.
But I would also mention that Michael Caine, I wish we saw a little more of him, the delightful cameo in a London club, that must get a mention. A very good cast. I mean, it is the big movie of the moment. Mulan, it won't be showing in the cinema.
But I'll be watching it, Richard. I'll be looking forward to seeing Mulan as a movie should be seen on my device, my mobile portable device.
And if you believe that, I say to listeners, you believe anything.
Elizabeth Debicki's role, in case you're wondering, in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. by Guy Ritchie was...
I don't think anyone remembers it. I don't think they want to know about it. But I would say that she is certainly fashionable here, and that fashions away she...
And she was fashionable as Victoria Vinci Guerra in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. film
people
as well.
People get confused between the two if you go on The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
They're both spy themes, Tenet. U.N.C.L.E. They're both the same, except one deals more effectively with time, and you will see time being used.
Have you seen Tenet?
I have seen sufficient and heard sufficient at this particular stage to say...
Are you telling me that you haven't seen Tenet?
Well, it's about time...
As
you'll know if you've seen the movie, Richard, it's a palindrome, as I said at the start.
No,
you've been to see it.
Have you actually been to the cinema and seen all 2 hours and 50 and 30 minutes?
I have not physically been in the cinema.
You haven't seen it at
But in terms of actually seeing it, I already have been there, and it's now back again, and we're having this conversation all over again. That's what it's all about, Tenet, you see.
I see that is a piece of verbal juggling, but I think that its duplicity should be condemned. Go back to The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and be trapped in a time warp.
Would you like a musical break before we move on to movie number two?
Oh, I look forward to it.
Don't know why we first met in cold old London, down by the Thames. We were sacred and slow. Let you
so blind I couldn't see. Yeah, now I'm getting older and the girls are getting younger. Maybe it's too late for me. I still wonder where you are each night, staring at the moonlight with a new man by your side. You were beautiful in every human way. Oh, so why did I let you go? Cold old London, cold old
Times newspaper saying that 32 out of 43 companies have started considering whether to allow staff to work from home more regularly or all the time. And indeed, the government's very own Alok Sharma having to respond to the Daily Mail, who actually did a count of people actually returning to the office in London and commuting and so on. 95 people out of a workforce of 1,800 effectively turned up on Thursday morning. I think London might be cold and old for a wee bit longer yet, Richard.
Well, of course, the place to go is in the cinema, that I have to say, Alex, and I need an assurance from you that by the time we talk next week, you will have seen Tenet.
I'll have to hesitate on that one. There are other more important things in one's life experience.
You were telling us in great detail that you'd spent hours watching.
I shall be clearly actually accessing the joys of Mulan. I mean, that is the number one, clearly,
but
in terms
of... Tenet. Now, what did you think of Inception?
I liked Inception. I thought it was good. I did actually see it in the cinema back in the day and have also watched it online as well. And I think it's... I would say I'm a Christopher Nolan fanatic.
That is obvious. But when are you going to
You know
Tenet?
My feeling about Dunkirk, Richard. A nice movie, but ultimately I felt that the Dunkirk in the 1950s with Richard Attenborough was far better, more true to life, and actually more representative of women in the era as well.
I think it was... It was indeed a good film. It had a documentary edge in the 1950s, but I was very impressed by Nolan's handling of three consecutive stories, although audiences were less so on the whole, and the film, of course, didn't do well at the awards, which it had expected to do. But I come back again that you're avoiding Tenet, and you can't.
I'll take the view of Robin Pierce, who has also been off to the cinema in Wales to experience it, and I think he found it quite interesting as well. So all good material. There are bigger things in life, and don't fret about the whole thing. In an era where France is having an outbreak of coronavirus and still running the Tour de France, I don't think that's a sensible idea. Who knows where we're heading? Where would you like to take us cinematically next, Richard? I thought so, you see. This is it. High coronavirus and off into the cinema as well.
Well, it's interesting that this is one of the movies, one of the first movies to be released in France after lockdown. And, I think what we need is some perfumes. This is the film. We need an irresistible elixir to lure cinemas back, I think. Cinema goes back to the movies. And throughout history, I'd say, perfume has always had an exotic aura. And this gives us an insight into the life of one of its top creators, because it's a fascinating study of opposites. We've got Anne Wahlberg, played by Emmanuel DeVos. She struggles very much at the center of this movie. She's almost a recluse when we meet her. She used to create magical perfumes, but when her sense of smell failed, she tried to cover it up, and that destroyed her career. She couldn't get work. She now relies on an agent who gets peripheral work, which she despises. She wants to become her former self with the status that she once held, and it's odd and certainly the movie handles it, I think, rather well. Guillaume is her chauffeur, played by Gregory Montel. He's down on his luck. He's struggling to survive financially. He wants to share custody with his ex-wife of his daughter, Leia, and needs a larger flat to do it. So when he starts driving Anne, they don't get on at all to begin with. She's obviously somewhat of a diva. But the facts of the matter are that he has various qualities that have never yet been tapped, and they start coming into play as the two of them become friendly. But how does the relationship between them develop? I have to say, director Gregory Magne avoids sensationalism in this. Broadly, he tells the story in the way I suspect it would happen in real life. A few helicopter shots of the countryside must get a mention. Visually pretty striking, but it does lack dramatic tension. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's a sort of comedy drama. I'd go more for the drama than the comedy because there weren't so much laughs as such, but it's got a humorous side to it. A movie to enjoy? Certainly. I think it's online here and not that I know in cinemas, but in France it really was quite a hit.
And I think released originally we have here 2018 when it was originally set to go for the system. Although I could be incorrect on that.
In point of fact, one of the problems, if you look at prospective release dates, there have been so many, are changes from time to time.
Consider, for instance, Richard,
at the moment it's chaos.
Consider the New Mutants, you know, held back several times before they effectively put that into the system. And who knows, people obviously spending more time with Tenet as opposed to New Mutants. The final X-Men movie, of course, from the Fox Studios before, clearly, all the rights are currently with the Disney Corporation and part of the Marvel branch as well. Another world, another time. So it's pretty much thumbs up for Perfume. In the Netflix online scenario, and
yes,
of course, two thumbs up for going back to the cinema experience, and one thumbs up for the actual content of the actual piece itself.
I didn't understand it.
And yet, you're insisting that I should go as long as see it. As I say,
I don't know. It's a question of duty. It's not a question of think.
Richard, my duty is to go to church, go to mass first, as opposed to having online masses.
You're throwing exactly all sorts of ideas out. Name-dropping irrelevances.
It's no.
I will expect when we speak next week that you will have seen.
Oh, you may expect that, of course, Richard. I, of course, cannot possibly comment, to paraphrase a great House of Cards moment back in the original day.
Why is it that you are reluctant? I must find out. I mean, we're on Siren, we ways of discovering the truth of what has happened, and I think you'll find that this conversation comes back.
I'm sure.
Come back to haunt you.
Rather like Tenet will in so many ways, and already has done.
I found it. It's not my cup of tea, but my goodness, everyone should go and see it.
Yep.
And there's no excuse. Of course, if people are so quirky that they spend hours watching other things
exactly.
and don't see it, we must name and shame them.
If it's a choice between the Black Panther or indeed Tenet, I'll choose the Black Panther in any way, shape, or form.
Some time ago. Equally, it's tragic.
And yet, as Tenet would say, all things are simultaneous. Remember, Richard, the classic words of Albert Einstein, the most persistent of illusions is that past, present, and future are separate entities.
In which case, go and see it.
I already have. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Richard Fitzwilliams?
Yeah, I have indeed, and it's one you won't be allowed to forget.
And when you come to reappraise The Return of the Man from U.N.C.L.E. or the Guy Ritchie Man from U.N.C.L.E. in more glowing terms, which I'm sure will happen one of these days.
It's not, because I'm not going to see that. Hugh Grant had a cameo that was...
You had Alicia Vikander. You have Armie Hammer. You had so many delightful...
Armie Hammer in quite a lot.
Yes.
And he's a good actor.
There we are. I mean, next you'd be saying that the Duchess with the fabulous Pirates of the Caribbean actress.
Can you remember her name, Alex? You can't remember Keira Knightley's name. So I name and shame.
I was just about to say.
I name and shame you for the third time.
Fabulous Pirates of the Caribbean actress Keira Knightley, and you burst into the whole thing there. Well said, indeed. Anyway, Richard will return, or indeed, in the words of Tenet, probably already has returned. So good to see you again, Richard.
And in the future.
she wants to go home. Shoes in hand, don't make a sound. It's time to go.
Records 7,379 new coronavirus cases. President Macron warns of another lockdown. Let's have a Tour de France. Let's go on our bike. You've got to admire the entente. Admire, in fact, you're supposed to admire the entente cordiale and the unmitigated comeback. It is only a flesh wound. Example of our colleagues across the channel. We'll miss them so much in a few months' time. Never mind. We won't miss Robin Pearce because he's not going anywhere, we hope, apart from to the cinema, which has got huge thumbs up from Richard Fitzwilliams, even though, as I said, I've got other things to do. And Richard, as I expected, Robin, well, I won't say what his response was. You can listen to it yourself. It'll be up online as a podcast fairly shortly, so you can find out what he made of Tenet. But you also went to see it. And I feel in many ways I was there with you in spirit, really.
Well, absolutely. I felt sitting there in the cinema, there was the spectral form of the Force ghost of Jedi Master Alex Lefchuk. Did Mr. Fitzwilliams like it, or
I think it was a case
of an accord on this.
I suggested he might have found it a tad bamboozling. He said just bamboozling.
We are of an accord then, because I thought the closing kind of lines of my review on my website were. It's like a James Bond movie with a lot of wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I can confirm that because I actually read that review and I was very pleased to actually see Siren Radio get several mentions, such as it just wasn't the same. It closed down and we just didn't know what to do. It's marvellous.
Exactly. Where are your audience going to get their cultural? Yeah. Fix, yeah. As it were.
Well, yeah, as you know, since the end of May, we have been back and back very strongly, it has to be said.
I think so. You're certainly keeping me busy,
both
with trying to keep up with what you're doing and, of course, gratefully, on my behalf, being a part of what you're doing.
Yeah, well, new...
But before we get started on today's spot, I would just like to take an unscheduled moment, if I may, just to pay my respect to the late Chadwick Boseman, who, of course, passed away last night at the tragically young age of 43 due to colon cancer. Known best, of course, for the Black Panther. He came up to main, starring status through soap operas, as so many people do. But to lose Mr. Boseman at 43 is definitely a tragedy. And people like myself, who have been long fans of the Marvel movies, will certainly miss him, as will, of course, his wider mainstream audience. The tragedy of it, of course, was that he was just getting started, really, and had such a long way to go. Rest in peace, Mr. Boseman. Wakanda falls silent.
Well, you obviously share that with Richard Fitzwilliams, who said pretty much the same about 25 minutes ago, and we would clearly echo that. So,
I do apologise.
I think it's worth saying we do appreciate the time, as I said, at the time, to go back into Tenet land as well. We never really know when we're going to transcend and move on, when our jobs have been done, when our race has been run and so on. So the most important thing is to be the best person you can whilst you're here, and then
Absolutely.
Leave beyond afterwards.
I concur fully. Now then, whoa, what a week you've had, Mr. Lefchuk.
Have I? Is this another time thing again? I don't know these days.
I have been a part of 4 shows produced by a good self, and I listened to another 2 which I wasn't a part of. So I was glad there was something there that I didn't have to skip over the annoying Welsh accent guy. Now then, I might as well let the cat out of the bag early. Sad to say, I have no Tess's Tune of the Week. And also sad to say, I have none of Poppy's philosophy to expound upon.
It's quite, I mean, astonishingly, one decided to go to Wales, the other one decided to go to Northumbria. However, Poppy is back with us, and indeed, Tessa's Tune, already, I have my finger poised here when she joins us later on to
excellent,
actually launch that again.
Excellent. So I listened to your show from the 26th, which basically was a delight from start to finish, starring Jean Bruce Scott, Randy Reinholds, Jessica Burtis, Phil Linus, and Gemma Joy. And I wasn't really aware of the whole native voices thing until Randy mentioned his Choctaw ancestors, which I found really, really interesting, because there's kind of a parallel here. It's, of course, a worthwhile endeavor keeping the Native American culture alive, and this is something that's going on in Wales with the ongoing struggle to keep the language going. I felt an empathy with Mr. Reinholdt and, of course, Jean Bruce Scott and the whole Native Voices thing, because we in Wales are basically involved in the same kind of struggle. You mentioned the Huck Finn annual that you had from the 60s. Now, as soon as you mentioned Ted Cassidy as Injun Joe, it stirred that memory. And I vaguely remember seeing a couple of episodes.
Oh, the more than a couple. There were, I think, approximately 18 or 20 of the wonderful classic series there, which...
I can only very, very vaguely remember it.
I ain't staying in this horrible cemetery a day longer. I'm off.
Was there any animation in it?
Yes. It was every week they would take the wrong, because effectively they got lost in the cave running away from Injun Joe and ended up in a whole wonderful world of leprechauns and classic mythological creatures and monsters, in which every so often, in fact every week, they found one of the villains who looked suspiciously like Injun Joe.
See, that's what I remembered, and I've tried to all I can recall was Ted Cassidy.
I'll get you!
I remember him, of course, as Rook, and more famously, as Lurk. So, yeah.
And the voiceover to the Incredible Hulk, of course.
Was he?
The voiceover at the start of the thing, who said David Banner is believed to be dead, but he must let the world think that he is dead.
Right, because in every animated series since the Lou Ferrigno series, and of course in the Marvel movies as well, they've always used Lou Ferrigno's growl.
Yes.
So, whoa. Yeah. What a trip down memory lane that was. I'm going to have to look and see if they're available.
You can find clips from The New Adventures of Huckleberry Finn on the wonderful world of YouTube. Again, as the descriptor actually says from IMDb, the gimmick is that Huck, Tom and Becky are live-action characters and everything else is animated.
Yeah. I can't remember how old I must have been to watch that, but I remembered it. Anyway, moving right on. Gene Bruce Scott. What a delight. What a true delight. She pitched an idea on air for a new Airwolf series where, of course, her Airwolf character from the 80s, Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, would become a new female archangel who was the mysterious boss played by Alex Cord.
Still alive and functioning, of course, and maybe joining us on the show in the near future. There's an expose.
I'd watch that series with Caitlin as a new archangel, and I'm hoping that maybe an Airwolf could find its way to
Wales
Rewind.
Wales and the Resonance Rewind, both of those things, will certainly be happening. Yes,
I would very much like that to happen. Yeah. I enjoyed listening to Jean's memories of filming Airwolf, which was back in the mid 80s.
She was nearly killed several times.
Right, holding that handrail. It was one of my favourite shows of the 80s, and I used to tape them every single week.
Listener, Robin's referring to videotape. As opposed to sellotape, or indeed gaffer tape, or other sort of forms of tape. He didn't actually stick that around a television set.
A measuring tape?
Yes.
Now, what I loved about Airwolf, for those who never saw it, you and I, Alex, we come from a time where, you know, if they were going behind the Iron Curtain, they never mentioned Russia or anywhere. It was behind the Iron Curtain.
Or Breznik in the case of TV21.
Or whatever. But here, I mean, for example, in the pilot film, before Gene Bruce Scott joined them in the second season, the pilot film actually had Airwolf, this experimental military battle copter, stolen. And they actually said it was in Saddam Hussein's... Colonel Gaddafi's summer palace, and they needed to infiltrate that. I mean, they set it in the real world, which I found very, very interesting. It's a historical piece of Reagan-esque America, to be sure, but you know, if you can watch it, please do. It's excellent. And I would agree with Phil Linus on her bravery as, you know, an actress, in being her own advocate, in looking after her own safety. Because many people, I mean, I remember Friday the 13th fandom, there's a story where one of the girl victims almost died of hypothermia in the lake because she didn't want to speak up that she was freezing to death.
And, of course, talking helicopter accents, the tragedy of Vic Perrin in the Twilight Zone movie, who obviously lost his life.
Yes. Yep. In the Vietnam sequence.
Yes.
So that was an excellent show, but then you went and outdid yourself, didn't you?
I like to raise the bar every so often, Robin.
With Tara Bennett, Ilana Rain, Luke Corradine, it was just amazing. And I didn't take many notes of that because I was just sitting back here, listening and engaging with what was being said, covering stuff like online trolls, people who give female directors bad reviews just because they're female. How ridiculous is that? This brings us into toxic fandom, which is a pet hate of mine, and we touched upon it last week at some point, where I was moaning that, you know, a lot of people feel, you know, if you like DC, you have to hate Marvel. If you like Marvel, you have to hate DC. You can either like Star Wars or Star Trek, but you can't like both. And I'm greedy. I like everything.
We are all one, Robin, as the Buddhist would say.
Indeed. Infinite diversity.
In infinite combinations.
That's the one. And then another thing that is quite close to my heart, British versus American sci-fi. Now, I'm the, as you well know, the outsider that I'm more of a fan of American films. TV
Doctor Who, the BBC signal in Wales just wasn't good enough back in the day.
That's exactly right. And I was watching our stronger ITV signal, and of course they bought in so many programs. And that became my template. So much as I was aware of Doctor Who, I was a fan of Irwin Allen and Gerry Anderson. And then finally, of course, you mentioned gaming. I'm a recent inductee into gaming as of last Christmas when I was bought a PS4. And, you know, I don't play the Call of Duty militaristic games. I play a lot of, you know, Batman, Destroy All Humans, which is kind of a Mars Attacks kind of game. So in my experience,
isn't that coronavirus these days?
Well, the little Martian that you play as is a lot cuter, and he's got a sense of humor. I find it's an extension of movies and comic books more than an actual gaming experience, because the graphics these days are so phenomenally realistic. I've but scratched the surface, I know this, but, you know, big Batman fan, I've played Arkham Asylum, and it's photorealistic. Along with my son Steve and one of our broadcast colleagues, Eloise Sheehan, we meet up on the airwaves, as it were, to play a three-way game of Friday the 13th. And that is, wearing headset, kind of a hard game to play in the dark, I'll tell you. So, yeah, it's an extension for me of movies and comic books and all my usual interests. Right then, you want to know who the contributor of the week is?
I think so.
I do have one this week. It's not a segment, it is a contributor. And I would like to give it up, please, for the amazing Gene Bruce Scott. I could listen to that lady's stories for hours.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that she'll be delighted to hear that. And
she'll say, who?
No. I mean, I think, you know, we know Jean well enough now. We've encountered her in a whole range of things to say that probably what Jean will actually say is something like,
from Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
That's what she said.
I thought you prepared one there. The excellent place for choosing me as contributor of the week.
We don't want to be too predictive in terms of this, even though obviously having lived life backwards, forwards, and in the middle, as Christopher Nolan would say, yeah, clearly we do. Hello, Bo. There we are. Marvellous.
Yes, she's saying hi to the postman. Yeah, I apologise for that.
Always very important for delivering more wonderful magic across the wilds of Wales. In many ways, presumably the Welsh Pony Express, you could say.
Oh, indeed, yes. As long as it's a Shetland pony, of course. I find those non-threatening.
We've already identified that. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Robin Pierce?
Thank you, yes.
All set for uploading yourself into another wonderful world of uploading times in the uploaded future that will possibly be the sense that Chadwick Boseman might be met there in Upload when we talk about it in Resonance Rewind in the very near future?
You know what? That made as much sense as Tenet to me. But yeah, okay.
Thank you.